And I thought the elements were a factor, you know, and at least offensively it took us a minute, but we found a way to overcome the elements and score enough points to win. I'd also like to make the point that Brent Celek's play at the end of the game was truly unselfish on his part. You know, he was smart enough to know. The guys went on the field knowing if we scored it or if we got a first down, then we would be able to kneel and end the game. And so what Brent did was very unselfish. He could have scored there, which would have made it 20 points. But what he did was he didn't expose his defensive teammates to injury by having to go out there and play some more. And so that's what you're trying to do is win the game. So it was very unselfish. I guess if he was on your fantasy team, right, or you're crunching the numbers on red zone efficiency, because we did take a knee in the red zone, that would bother you, but I thought it was unselfish. So that being said, we're on to the Vikings.
Pat, what, I'm sorry, one more thing about the Lions game first.
Sure.
How do you account for the difference in the offense through the first two-thirds of the game and the last third of the game? What exactly happened?
Well, you know, it took us a minute to we had to do everything going forward. We had a good plan. We had a lot of things we wanted to do against the Lions. And, again, it's just like we were talking last week about what happens in the third quarter. We just weren't executing efficiently, you know, in the first part of the game. So I don't think there's anything there. I thought our running backs did a nice job of they were patient to the hole, a good speed through the hole, and they hit it downhill. And I thought they did a good job. And then, of course, our line did a good job blocking.
Your tight ends did a lot of run blocking, staying in, and helping pass protection, a lot of it. Would you say that across the board they were as instrumental to the running game as anything?
Oh, yeah. I thought the tight ends played extremely well. You know, at the end there, it really was a one-deep safety game. You know, they were playing a three-deep look on us, and, you know, it's important that the guys in those types of games do a good job blocking on the perimeter. And I thought our tight ends and our wide receivers did a good job. I mean, Jason Avant is another guy. You know, he was blocking the near perimeter there, and he didn't really get targeted in the game, but I thought he played outstanding.
Your wide receivers have been efficient blockers all season long. What is it that you preach to them that a lot of teams maybe don't, because not as many teams block as well as your wideouts do?
Well, I think it's an unselfish group. You know, we're really all focused on trying to win the game, and we know that we like to run the football, and there's a lot of times when we choose to hand it off, or it may be a zone read where all of a sudden the ball's out on the perimeter, and they all have opportunities to catch balls, and so they all got to block for one another. But it's a very unselfish group, and I think, you know, they just like to try to contribute in any way possible.
As a follow-up on Celek, you and Chip have been praiseworthy of him throughout the season. Mm-hmm. His numbers don't jump off the page. What does he do that kind of goes beyond what we see on the stat sheet?
We as coaches see what he does as a player and a teammate behind the scenes. We appreciate what he does on plays where he may not get production. And, you know, he's an outstanding blocker. He's an unselfish player, as he displayed the other night. And he just does all the things that you want as a coach. He's embraced all the changes that have happened and how we do things, preparing to practice and then our training sessions. He's bought into everything. And if you ask him, he feels and sees the benefits of what we're doing. And we just appreciate him for all those things.
When you look at the offensive line, has Lane Johnson gotten to the point where he no longer looks like a first-year player?
Well, you know, and one of the scoring plays you saw where he did a hook slide in the snow angel. So, you know, I don't know what that would look like. But he has gotten better each time he's gone on the field. You know, he's still a rookie, and there's still some things that he needs to improve. But we feel good about the progress he's making, and he's got a couple more opportunities to even get better.
From Nick's standpoint, what adjustments did you guys make with him from the first half to the second half? Because he was a different quarterback out there.
Yeah, we didn't make any real adjustments. We got to different types of plays, but for the most part, he was executing in a way that was – he was like everybody else. We just found a way to make more plays as the game went on.
That Zach Ertz is a blocker. What are some things that he's improved upon? What are some of the things he still needs to work on?
Yeah, I think he's a lot like Lane. You know, he's a rookie player playing quite a few snaps, and I think he's done a good job with the run blocking. He did some good things in the run game the other night, and we've seen where he can make plays in the pass game. His general game just needs to improve, just like all the guys.
Getting back to Brent, you were here for his first 2 years.
Sure.
How has he developed as a blocker since then?
I think he's gotten better. You know, he came in just like a lot of young guys. You know, you got to get used to the speed and get used to playing the game at this level. But he's a willing, try hard guy, and he knows how to use his feet and set his hands, and then he tries to finish. And I think those are all key ingredients when you're a good run blocker.
As a coaching staff, how do you turn the page from, you know, there's so much of a buzz still about Sunday's historic and, you know, it was such a memorable day. How do you turn the page to these players to get them to focus on the next game and the task at hand?
Well, we've been doing it all along. You know, in our minds, the only thing we've done is win five in a row. There's a lot out there still, and it all starts with staying focused on playing the Vikings and doing whatever we can. And I think I kind of go that direction every time we visit here on Tuesday. And that's really the message to the team. There's nothing really in our sights other than playing Minnesota. And our guys have done it and displayed to us in the last few weeks that they can do it. So it's just hit the reset button and let's go.
But it was such a special accomplishment on Sunday and a memorable one. And so it must be a much more difficult task.
I don't know about that. It was a good win. We beat a very good opponent. We found a way to come back from a 8-0 deficit, and there was some lead changes, and we battled through it. All things that we weren't surprised that we saw from our team, because we knew that. And so now we put that to bed, and we move forward.
And when you look at Minnesota on tape, who are the game wreckers on defense? When you're preparing for this particular defense, what will be your points of emphasis going into this week?
Well, much like a lot of the weeks, you know, their front four is very good, you know, with Robeson, of course, and Jared Allen and Williams. I mean, just to name the three that come to mind first, their front is very sturdy. You know, I know Leslie very well as a coach. Leslie and I came here with Coach Reed on his first staff. We worked together for a long time. I consider him a dear friend, and I know the way he coaches, and he's very fundamental. He teaches and preaches fundamentals and finishing and playing hard, and you can see that from his defense. And so they play good team defense. You know, they find a way to get turnovers at times, and I think they're opportunistic, and they got a good front, and so it's going to be a big challenge.
Pat, you've had a lot of years coaching, as you said, as a head coach and assistant. Teams always have a letdown, at least I've noticed that in years. This team doesn't seem to have that, so there must be something either with the coaching staff or with the players that makes that different. And my question is, what do you think it is that makes that different?
I don't know. All I know is, as I talked about, we hit the reset button. Our guys believe in the process that we go through each week from a physical standpoint. The way we're practicing or training now is a little bit different than in the past. What they're putting their bodies through each week is a little bit different, and so they feel like they're strong and healthy and ready to compete. And they've really, you know, and the veterans that have been around here, I think, have helped them. They've been really good about putting the last game to bed and moving on. You know, we talk about this being the best Tuesday of the year, and they've embraced it.
Brad Smith is just a receiver. I know he gives you guys some other options. Yeah. So what do you like him as just as a ball catcher?
Well, I think he's got good ball skills. He's got good size. He displayed his size the other night. We threw him a quick one, and then he was able to get yardage by, you know, Houston kind of jumped on his back, and then, you know, he took him downfield. So he's got good size. He's got good ball skills. He's played a lot of football, gained a lot of yards throwing and catching. And so we're looking forward to develop him. He's getting better and better each week as he gets to know more and more about what we're doing.
You've worked with a lot of young quarterbacks, I mean, in their first and second years, including last year in Cleveland. What does Nick do, or what makes him, like, you know, this being his second year, you know, so much, it seems like so much more advanced than a lot of the other younger quarterbacks?
I don't remember Nick from a year ago. All I can tell you is this year, he's taken that put it to bed, move on mentality. He's embraced it. He's up there now finishing up his preparation for today's training session. And I just see him on a day-to-day basis trying to get better. You know, and like, you know, it's really important, too. He's willing to admit when he makes a mistake, and that's the first step. Because then you can do what you have to do to find it, correct it, and then move on. And so that's part of the process, and he's embraced that, too.
Was there an example of that, like maybe from Sunday's game?
Well, he threw a pick, right? Sure. So he's willing to admit how on that play he needs to do better so that we can move on and not have it happen again.
Chip had said yesterday that Polk has been having good practices and, you know, maybe deserves a few more snaps. Can you elaborate on what you've seen in him in practice?
Yeah, Chris has done a good job. I've been impressed with him all the way from the spring training sessions, and he's just real steady. You saw he's got a burst, you know, and that was one of those runs where he broke through. There was actually James Casey did a good job of sealing one defender. There were two there. He broke a tackle, and then once he broke a tackle and got to the third level, he was able to score with it. So that run kind of illustrates a little bit of what Chris is, and then we've seen him more, you know, out in practice and in the training sessions doing that on a consistent basis.
Is it like dope? Is it knowledge of the play? I mean, in practice, you're not in pads every day and running plays aren't.
He knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing, and he's like all the players that are up each week. We trust him when he gets in there, and he made the most of his opportunities the other day.
Is there a comfort in knowing that weather is not going to be a factor on Sunday in a dome?
I don't think we need to take our rain gear, you know, and I guess it might be snow gear there.
So much of what McCoy does, or the attention he gets, is for his shifting and his cutting. But when you saw him run north-south that way, is that something he does frequently, and is it something he can do more?
No, I thought he ran hard. He ran in a physical way. You know, typically we love to get to the running backs to the second level all the time. Then you either break a tackle or make a guy miss, and he displayed the ability to do both the other night. You? Wasn't you?
No.
All right.
I mean, do you take that, the north-south running that he was doing, as almost a lesson to him?
He can do it. But we've also seen him, you know, wiggle guys and go east and west, and I think that's something that he can do both.
Where does he rank among the running backs you've seen in terms of cutting and moving laterally?
Well, he's got a great ability to do that. He's got to be one of the top ones. You know, and I think I remember last week he was being compared to Barry Sanders, and I liked his response to that, you know, and I think, I don't know, I just have seen him grow, you know, since the last spring as well.
Were you, you're in the booth, Chip's on the ground. When he decides to go under center and start handing off, did you guys talk about that through the headsets at all first?
Yeah, you can imagine what our conversations were. We snapped one over, you know, Nick's head, and we didn't handle it well. And so at that point in the game, we just felt like it was probably better to go under. And then as things settled down a little bit more, then, of course, we got back to the shotgun a little bit more later.
And I know you do practice under center.
We talk about everything, quite frankly.
I know you guys do it during practice.
We got headsets and microphones.
So we talk
about it. Yeah. But when you do it really for the first time, as much as you guys did, was there in your eyes some, all right, let's see how this works? I mean, I know you do it in practice, but this is
different. No, we do it a lot, you know, and there's a certain percentage of plays that we'll run from under in every game.
But the numbers were significantly better in the shotgun than under center. Why was that?
I don't know. I didn't look at it that way.
It was 9.5 in the shotgun. It was 9.5 yards per play in the shotgun, about 4.5 yards per play under center.
Yeah, but it also was later in the game when we were getting settled down for other reasons too. So that's a good number crunch, but I don't know if it tells the whole story.
That's why I'm asking.
Like, no, I don't think it tells the whole story. I think we feel like we can be effective under center in the shotgun.
Was it a visibility thing late in the game? Or was it more than that?
No,
the
we just
visibility got better as the game went along. Did that play a pretty key?
Yeah, game? It was snowing less, I guess. You know, so you could see better. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. We just weren't playing very well early, and you know the Lions were moving the ball well early and not so well late, and so we just kind of flipped a switch.
Okay.
Good. All right, guys.